strategies, and sometimes they're very successful. Mm-hmm. But we all have cases, a dozen a year or whatever, depending on the size of your school, where they're just not going to come back. They're not happy, and they're like, I want to get out of that agreement. And we're like, well, talk to ASF. And then they're still pissed off. How do you leave it? And what is your...
Yeah, I got reported to the Attorney General's office by one of those earlier this year.
I have two things that we do. If that ever happens, there's a reason. Right. And what you have to do is they don't want to give you the reason always. So what you have to do is you got to try to dig down through and find out what the real reason is. Because once you know what the real reason is, then you can solve it, or at least attempt to solve it. If it comes to you dig down and you get the reason and you cannot solve it, I give them two choices. Say one, you can freeze the time on your program. What that means is you fill out a slip, and I have a little freeze slip that says, I understand that I request an extension of not my time. I will be gone from this time to this time for this reason. I understand that all payments must be made during this absence, and failure to not make any of those payments dissolves this freeze time. And it's not in those exact words, but that's general.
We have that.
Yeah, we do that too.
And when you do that, then they don't feel like they're losing anything. And the second thing I do is I say, if you're not happy with the program and you don't think he wants to come back and you don't think there's anything that we can do. Now, this is after going through all of the digging and trying to reason with them. I tell them what I'll do is I'll give you the option to transfer the program to a friend or a family member.
Yeah, we do that too.
And if you do that, what I'll do, whatever time's remaining on your program, they don't obviously have to come in at that belt level, but it would be a beginner student, not one of our students, but a friend or a family, classmate, neighbor, a teammate. So you're giving them a lot of avenues. And because of this amount of time on your program and what you pay, you have a pretty good value for a beginner to come in at a much reduced rate. And I'll put them on whatever that time is, I'll put them, transfer that to appropriate program and let them get started. Well, how long do I have to do that? Well, we allow you to freeze your program up to 1 year. So if you want to freeze it for a year, and during that year you try to find somebody, we'll let you do it. Now remember, all payments have to, you know, if they're on payment plan, all payments have to be made, because any delinquent accounts we cannot freeze, and any delinquent accounts we cannot transfer. And then when you transfer the program, if there's a balance on the program, you are obligated for that balance. So whatever cash value you get from them, you need to make sure you get enough to pay off the balance of your program, because even if they were to make payments for you, if they became delinquent, you would still, they would just be a co-signer. And whenever I've done that, 99% of the time that works. Well, that way they feel like you're not just not giving them any options.
We actually have all those options built into our tuition.
If you do that,
he has a very sophisticated
then
tuition.
There's nothing that like you can do.
Really good.
There's nothing that the Attorney General, there's nothing consumer, because all the consumer advocates are going to do is try to, get some kind of understanding, compromise between the two, and say, well, we have the program built in for that.
Well, that's my question. As you said, 90% of the time, one of those options deals with it. But for the other, we're finding 5 to 10 students a year, they're just hard-ass, pain-ass people. Do you just leave it in ASF's hands and let them be pissed off, or do you cancel it, or what do you do?
Any thoughts?
I'll be honest, we usually will cancel it at that point. I don't want the bad word of mouth going around about the school. Again, we're saying that we've gone through everything. And then even from that point on, we've even probably tried one or two more times what Master Smith's talking about.
Nobody in this room is saying, at the first phone call, sorry, you're tearing up. Nobody in this room is there. Yeah, exactly. But And Charles, what are you doing when we get to that point?
Pretty much what he's doing.
You drop
and I'm sorry, I disagree.
Which one?
I absolutely do not let them get out of it.
Well,
And the reason for that, we used to do that. And you know what happened? Whenever we did that, all of a sudden there was a tidal wave. Because they talked to somebody, oh, I haven't seen you, how come you're not coming anymore? Well, you still have to make your payments. Oh, no, they said I didn't have to make them. And for some way and somehow, word gets around. And in reverse, it gets around the other way. It wasn't because, you know, if somebody leaves a program that they're unhappy with, there are certain things that they will say about the school. But if they have payments that they're making, and you extended the time on the program, you gave them the option to transfer the program to somebody else, you gave them their escape clause. They just decided not to take any effort on their part to help in the agreement. It is a contract. It is a two-way agreement. I have agreed to long leases here to pay commissions to my staff. I have commitments to my vendors, advertisers, and for me to stay in business. Otherwise, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have a contract. And a contract is binding, and you are obligated. Now, obviously, we cannot force you to pay it, but we do have options to enforce the collection. And AFS will seek those options, and that's up to you whether you want to try to handle it fairly or if you just want to ignore it. It's up to you. It doesn't matter to me.
Now, I will say, we have had people we've done that with. I mean, now,
when you say
it is usually 99%
of the time, then they go ahead and pay it.
I have a
question. And they look for somebody to transfer it, because I have had them transfer it. And when they're transferring it, they don't say bad things.
Because they
want to get their money back. And I had students come in, a year left on their program. Now that student comes in, first 3 months, we upgrade them to a Master of Leadership program, and now we're on going to the second. But if you let them out of it, you never have that option.
Yeah, I don't let them out of it either. Yeah. I do find once it's in ASF's hands, we really never see the money. Yeah.
And I just tell them,
rather than the rule that they actually pay off.
And that's the advantage of having AFS, is that, you know, I wish we could do that, but AFS, our lending institution, doesn't allow that. Just like a bank. Can you imagine if you borrowed money from a bank and you went to the bank and you asked them, you know, look, I'm not driving the car anymore. I'm going to give it back. And they would then just say, okay, forget it. You know, you did make an obligation, and that's what keeps this country revolving as a business, is that everybody has to make commitments. And if everybody quits making their commitments, then our whole economy falls apart. And then I kind of put a heavy load, like, you know, you're trying to do something that can tear the whole economy of this country down. And then they go like, oh, okay, I see that point. And, you know, it's just like being logical with them. Usually, after that conversation, they keep making the payments. And I have a few of them that don't. And we just go through the process, which means that I send them to a collection agency. And most of them, when they get the collection agency... No, well, if ASF, the ones that I have at ASF, they use it, but I have my own. Because I have an attorney, too, that will write them a letter. Now, whether I take them to court or not is another thing, because usually what it costs to take them to court is more than what they owe. But I guarantee you, if they get a collection letter and a couple calls, that'll get half of them back on gear. They get a letter from an attorney, that other half, they'll get 90% of them. So you'll only have one or two out of 100, well, not even 100, one or two out of three hundred.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is 5 a year. So, what we're talking about is what does all that.
Definitely be five, yeah. You know, not a problem.
Yeah. Jonathan, what are you doing?
I let him go. I don't have a billing company.
Oh, you don't use a billing company?
What? Okay. You know, and I often find that those people that I let go come back, apologize. And when I've done it, I have an interesting experience because I worked for a franchise for, you know, 6 years, and then I went on my own for 6 years, and anything I didn't like about what they did, I sort of did differently. And, you know, this is unusual, but it did happen. Last week, I had a woman who left with a balance, and it was kind of ugly, come up to me at a social event that I was running for my school, hand me a $650 check.
Is that what Fred owe you this?
No, I forgot I owe you this, but look, you know, at that time I couldn't do it. I wasn't telling anybody we were going through a divorce and blah, 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 blah.
Definitely the exception rather than the rule.
It was definitely the exception rather than the rule, but, you know, I got this really grateful note. So I think, you know, for me it's a, I couldn't tell you which one has a bigger effect on my bottom line. I would probably suggest hard collections probably does in the short term, but I don't think it's a big difference. And from a sleep well at night and a customer relations thing, when it gets that ugly, I usually say, okay, look, fine, you know, I tried to maintain this agreement with you. We had an agreement, and if you refuse to upkeep it, there's nothing I can do about it, and I'll leave it there.
James, I think we know where you're at, right? What are you doing if they get to that point?
Depends on the person. If I feel like I can strong arm it a little bit, I will. You know, and if I feel like that it's not worth it, you know, Deb's more.
Yeah.
You know, she's the one that's that'll like want a hole in the fire. And I, you know, here's what Master Oliver told me several times, and I thought he was joking the first time he said it, but the more I had experience with him, the more I think he's genuine about it. He says that after 90 days, he lets him go. And he said, I said, so what would you do with someone? He says, I'll send him a box of Omaha steaks and tell him thanks for being here, you know. And I'm like, really?
Coffee mug with flowers,
yeah. And I mean, the more you think about that, I mean, that's, you got some guy that thinks you're a real pain in the ass and you really are a jerk and you know, then you let him out of their agreement after 90 days and you send him a box of steaks and tell him, you know, thanks for checking in. How can that guy go around in the community and
saying
bad things about
him? And that's why I say when you dig into the reason why,
I don't use
and
that
you
to
find,
dig, though. I usually know.
If they, well, you know, like the divorce thing. You know, I'll have a, if they tell me something like that, well, I know that no matter what I do, they don't have the money.
Right.
So what am I going to go
through?
And if they're going through a divorce, you know, I went through one of those several years ago, and I know that's not the time that you're in the mood for anything. So those type of people, I would just say, look, I'll put it on hold. When you can come back, you can pick up from there. You know, you do have those. It's the ones who get on there who say, no, you know, I'm just not going to pay, and you can't force me. And, you know, if they get...
Well, that's different. Those are the ones I would turn over the collection in a heartbeat.
But when you get those that, you know, my husband lost his job, you know, we're trying to keep, you know, the car, and, you know, yeah, those people, you're going to... I've even told those, come to class, keep going. When he gets his job back, then we'll pick up from there. See, it's all in the attitude of the person.
Absolutely.
But it's those that you get, which is a few, that get belligerent and just think, well, you can't force me in. Take me to collections. I don't care. And that kind of, then, okay, that's what you'd like.
And I'm the legitimate case-by-case one where they have a good reason. We never break the contract. We just say, I'm going to put it on freeze until you tell me that you can continue. So that might be 20 years from now.
Freeze what? You freeze their payments or you freeze their time?
Okay.
Yeah, that's something I don't usually ever let them just freeze.
That's a rare
the
exception.
I will freeze the time anytime.
The father's got cancer or something. They've got to live in Omaha. Or, you know, some weird thing.
Yeah, if you have a thing control. Like that, and I have even told them to, like on a divorce case like that, when the mother doesn't have any money, and she starts saying, "I really loved the program and it really did so much for him," I say, "Look, it's going to be a hard time for him. Let him go ahead and come to class. When you get this all resolved and you get back on your feet, We'll pick it up from there." And, you know, they're appreciative. And the things that the kids have to go through during divorce is a lot harder on them. So if they can still have that...
something consistent in their life.
Well, they say the best thing for kids when parents are going through a divorce is to keep them on the same schedule of everything they're doing. So if you start pulling them out of all these activities, and that's what I tell the parents. You know, I give them that advice because I've been through it, so I can at least give them a little... advice on that. And
one thing I'm just thinking, see what your opinion is, I've always had George, my son, handle all, anybody who wants to quit, to talk to George to kind of leave me as the head instructor out of that mess. But just, this is making me think, I know I'm the most persuasive person in my school as head instructor. Maybe I should be the one who actually handles
it. Yeah, I do just the opposite. I handle them all. Because I know my staff, it's like the first time they say something, okay, well, okay, thank you. I mean, they just...
George is the opposite. He's like,
yeah,
George is the agreement.
George is higher. Yeah. George is higher,
The bird gore.
No, he's really good. He's really good. He's empathetic. And, I mean, George is really good. You got the right guy, you know. But I think
being the head instructor, is that something I should take on?
With George, my opinion is with George, he's gonna filter out 90% of the ones and fix that, most
and that's
of
the key right there. You know let I mean? Him handle. Get, yeah, if yeah. he does not make a smooth resolve, if there's still a problem, then because he will, if he's been doing it like that, the ones that are legit, he'll see, and the ones that aren't, he'll see. And then if he says, look, here's one that I need you to make the decision on because they do have a good reason, and I just couldn't in clear conscience, drop the hammer on them. And I've had them, father died.
Yeah.
And situations like that. I mean, things you don't expect. You call a kid, we've missed Johnny in class, what happened? Oh, well, my husband died. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know he was ill. No, he was killed in an accident. Or, I've had him... when you've been teaching for 40 years, you've heard everything. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think there's two things to kind of rewind the conversation. We've got some serious clock we have to worry about today, so we've got to be pretty brief on all this. But, are we ever going to sue anybody over contract? No. I mean, I'm just telling you, we're not. Because no matter how persuasive you are in the face-to-face meeting with that person, when they walk out the door, what they tell their friend is what their perception is, not what you wanted to tell them. You know what I'm saying? So you can tell them all you want, all that stuff, but when they go bitch about it to all their friends, I mean, that's what they're going to say is, yeah, those fuckers sued me. I mean, that's what they're going to say, right? I mean, really, right? There's nothing you can do to change that. So our policy, the Malachi model on that is ASF deals with them. They deal with it, right? They can do the collection calls. What they get, they get. What they don't get, they don't get. And we always play good guy, bad guy. Always. I mean, from here to eternity, it's listen, we don't handle that here. They handle that. You'll have to deal with them. What I'm concerned about is Johnny. How can we help him? What can we help him? That's the whole deal. I mean, that's really the logistical. That's the system we have in place here, And that's just to keep, your staff guy from having to deal with it, and 50 franchisees to have to be as persuasive as Master Smith is, because we know that that's probably not realistic, right? Okay, good. And anything else on that anybody has any thoughts on?
By the way, the outsider experience, not using the Lean Company, is that people don't buy their second-party thing too well. They say to you they do, but then, now what I get is that people transfer from other schools and say, yeah, then they told me that their billing company wouldn't do it, but it's their freaking money, so I'm sure if they, wanted to take care of it, they could have.
Yeah, so, ASF is pretty good, though. They never give up the ghost. They don't say, well, you have to call the school and they'll cancel you. I mean,
Oh, yeah, they do.
That's bullshit.
Sure, they do.
No.
I left them for that reason.
Yeah, right. The customer sees through it a lot of times, is what I'm saying.
Well, you have to be firm as the school. You have to say, well,
yeah.
ASF's going to tell you exactly what I'm telling you, which is don't break their agreements.
I don't think whether you collect it or whether you have somebody else collect it, that it makes it different for the student. As long as you tell them what they don't want to do, what they're nervous about, is their credit. And a lot of people don't have good credit these days. And they're afraid, oh, you don't handle it? Somebody else? Say, look, we approve them here. They collect it for us. And that's what I tell them. And when you tell them that, then they go, okay, so no problem. We'll start to be approved. We've got all your information here. You made your down payment. You made your first month's tuition. So your payment plan has been approved. Your payments will start next month. You'll get whether you do a debit or whether you're going to do a booklet or whatever, you'll tell them the procedure. And usually it's easiest with the credit.
It always amazes me how many people, not so much in the martial arts program, but in our fitness program, when people want to get out, they'll just close their account as if they could care less about
the account. If you're debiting the account, it doesn't make any difference.
I mean, ASF is doing it, but they're just,
I had one last month. It was a credit card bill, and the guy just canceled his credit card.
Well, I do that all the time.
Well, the other thing you have to remember is the credit cards have an expiration date. So if the expiration date on the date the card that you're taking isn't till the end of their program, it's going to knock out anyway, and then they have to re-opt in.
Right.
And a lot of times, once that happens, if they're not active, if they're not current at the time, they don't opt back in. So I always make sure that I look at those dates on there, and if it's before the end of the program, then I make sure that we mark that on the student's contract, so we make sure that we keep that student active in the program.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you just change the expiration date.
And that was pretty good at that. They know what the new date's going to be.
Doesn't matter. The thing with PCI compliance is it doesn't check the expiration date against the merchant. So it doesn't matter. You can put any date you want in there as long as it's not expired. But I never said that. And by the way, that doesn't work with Discover or Annex. It works for American, it works for Visa and MasterCard.
If you put any expiration date?
Anything in the future, yeah. Doesn't
anything other than an expired date.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought if it had an expired date and you put it in there.
It doesn't have to match. There's no AVS. There's no AVS command in the merchant processor's software that checks it. That checks an exact date. It just checks whether it's a checksum figure rather than a check value figure.
Because I had my credit card on.
It's good to know.
You know, I have a fitness membership. It's a monthly billing. They sent me a notice in the mail that the card didn't go through. And I checked that card, and I had a new card. And, you know, because the date expired, they gave me a new card. When they gave me a new card, it had the last four numbers were different.
Yeah, some banks change your numbers. Yeah.
They don't just give you the same exact number.
That's what happened to me with an app.
Most do, but yeah.
Because they changed the number, and I didn't think about it because they just wrapped it every month.
Yeah.
And then they called me up and said, hey, look, it didn't come
in. Which actually, one of the problems with that system is the more automated you get, the less in touch you are with that stuff. You know what I mean? Because, you know, if you only see a report once a month,
I got an email from Rob a couple months ago. Our credit card wasn't working.
Well, I mean,
what are you talking about?
That happens.
That's inside total. Happens. I don't know what everybody else thinks, but to me, this kind of just general form of miscellaneous things, I always find really valuable.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, James had one question that led to a half hour where we're really getting. If we could dedicate a couple hours at each of our 2-day meetings for just open, you know, any miscellaneous things, do you think that's worthwhile?
Absolutely. No, that was the plan for this morning. You know, that was planned for this morning. Robert's got a few things to contribute, and then we've got a call with Dave, but we've got the rest of the afternoon.
The advantage of this group is that you have so much experience in this group.
Yeah.
And if there's some scenario that you haven't had, or you have had and you didn't have a success on it, chances are somebody else had the same scenario, but they had a little better success or results on it. So when you share that knowledge, it's...
In fact, James, if you email those emails around to everybody in the group, or put them up on the discussion board or something like that, that'd be really useful. Everybody can kind of, tweet copy and stuff. And
I found the one with I lambast the guy. If you guys want that one, I'll send it to you.
Yeah,
post them
up on I'm not going to put them on a... I'll send them to your emails, but I don't want to post them on a...
Well, that's fine. Send them to me, and I'll forward them to everybody.
Thank you. Oh, man.
It's making grimaces.
That's awesome. I'm taking lunch now. I didn't realize what he was doing to it.
Okay, good. So Robert, why don't you give us 30, 40 minutes on what you brought to the show?
Yeah, I've got a couple different things. One of them, is it possible to hook your laptop up to the computer and bring up a website?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Website?
It's physedforhomeschoolers.com.
Oh, cool.
I got a couple things we'll go through with you guys, new stuff that we're trying. Nice. This just started this month, so if you guys want to hand those out to Toby, they're coming around, sir.
Oh, those are cute.
We've been looking for new ways to kind of try to market the school inexpensively. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of grassroots stuff. And I went to breakfast with my son before school one day, and we sat down at the local diner, and, you know, they put an advertising placemat in front of me, which is useless in my opinion. And they gave him this thing to color, and it was this garbage little piece of paper that had, like, next to nothing on it. And I said, you know, geez, I wonder if we could do something like that. So we went ahead, and we're members of, I don't know if you guys know what Powerful Words is, but I'm a raving fan of their program. We use that for all of our basic character development stuff in the school, and then our leadership team does a lot of the books that Mile High does. So we went ahead, and we took the children's character development worksheet for the month, and we shrunk it down. And the only thing Maya's good for these days, in my opinion, is some of their Kid Kick stuff that comes in their monthly newsletter. And that's what the coloring and the activities and stuff that are on there, the mazes and stuff are. That comes out of their Kid Kick newsletter every month. And it's, you know, themed toward the month they're going to be in. So, like, we have one getting set up now for April, which is all Easter stuff. So we went ahead and we ran off a bunch of copies.
UPS prints this for you?
Yeah, my UPS store next door prints it for me. We made a deal with the guy. The deal was if he puts his logo on it, he prints 1,500 of them for $100 for me.
Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, you know, a steal.
for me. And, you know, I took a couple of them pre-printed around to some of the local restaurants, and the local diner took 1,000 a month. A bunch of the local restaurants in town took 100 or so a month apiece. And any kid that goes into one of the local restaurants in town gets this put in front of them to color and play on every month. And, you know, I know for a fact my son, when we go somewhere, he brings that thing home every single time to continue to color on it and work on it. And so I figured it's a good way to have something with the school name and an offer laying around the house and in front of, you know, my target market quite often. Statistically, it's kind of hard to gauge. We just started it this month. I mean, I've gotten one call and a sign-up off of it, but they've only been out 2 weeks. And, you know, I kind of have a feeling that it's going to be like any other kind of advertising. People are going to need to see it 3, 4, 5 times before it starts to sink in and get a phone call.
Well, I mean, look, how many did you print up?
1,500, but it cost me $100.
What?
Well, that was the reason why he's on here. The local UPS store. Yeah, well, and I put them in the bottom left-hand corner where barely anybody looks anyways.
Yeah, so you're already paid for it.
Yeah.
You're happy you guys do it.
And he does.
Absolutely. You're done. Everything from here on.
He does digital printing and copying already, so.
Right.
Oh, beautiful.
Right. So, you know, for us, it's pretty easy. We lay it out every month and send it to him.
He said he got most of this artwork from Maya.
Yeah, the mazes and the other things, powerful words. Yeah. But the mazes and the coloring karate guy and that stuff are all.
He's cool.
But I'll be honest with you, that's the only thing they're good for, in my opinion.
Only thing that I would do different on this,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, I'm just like stickler for details, is I would put, I like that little guy kicking there,
mm-hmm.
I would put him over here, too.
Okay.
Because that looks like, that almost looks like that.
Okay.
I didn't really catch that was to your school.
Okay.
Because it's talking about strings and offer, and there's not a karate word or anything there.
Yeah.
Or martial arts or anything to tie it in. If there was a little kicking guy, then you would.
Cool. Yeah, and all that stuff. Let's
back up a half a second because I think there's a lot of leverage in this. What exactly? What's your first question here? Do you want copy points or what?
Well, any help in improving it would be great. And then, you know, just I wanted to give something different to the guys to share for, you know, inexpensive marketing stuff. So.
Let's go around the room. Charles, what do you think?
I think it's great.
Quick question.
Yeah. Yep.
You said you went and you just asked restaurants if they would use it.
Right? Went in, talked to the owners, you know, explained to them that there's no charge to them. We do it all for free. Mm-hmm. All we ask is that, you know, they use those instead of whatever they're using. And the way we kind of approached it is that, you know, if you're paying for children's placemats for them to color on now, as long as they don't have their menus on them, obviously, you know, now you're not paying for them, you're saving money. And in this economy, everybody's looking to save money, you know. So it was a win-win. You know, they're saving money on not having to buy them every month.
It's great. Yeah.
We're providing them for them, and it's putting
really
me in
good.
Front of them.
This is very clever. Charles, any thoughts on this?
Because IHOP does this, but of course not with the karate stuff, but they have their menu on the...
Right. Well, you're not going to... I'll be honest with you, you're not going to get into the chain ones anyways. You know, we have a diner that's owned by a bunch of Greek guys in town.
Mom and pop.
Yeah, well, you know, where we are, it's all Greek-owned for the most part. So the diner's owned by the Greeks, and then they own a big steak restaurant local. So they've got them in both of their restaurants. And then where I am in Fishkill, we're on a main drag on Main Street. And down Main Street, there's like 5 or 6 little mom-and-pop restaurants. They do lunch, they do dinner. But they get a tremendous amount of children's traffic. So, you know, they took 50 to 100 each, depending on how many kids they see a month. And it's just more word of mouth than anything else. I mean, you know, I approach Ruby Tuesdays and stuff like that, but you're never going to get in there. I mean, it was an awful battle to try. But I figured it didn't hurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's worth banging on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What is Fishkill Karate?
It's our website.
Fishkill's the town.
Fishkill's the town.
Oh, I was going to say.
Fishkill more.
That, you know, it sounded a little kill.
Is that a secure self-defense program?
We take you to a
self-defense against
we take you to a creek.
I thought maybe they had this new fishing plan for, you know,
Eric,
commercial fishermen to increase their take every day.
Did you say something?
No, I thought we could probably go around the room and...
Well, my opinion is... Actually, I'd like to hear what Eric has to say about this, because he's much sharper on this stuff than I am. I love this idea. This is great. This is really great.
Yeah.
And some of the... I mean, even taking from this and applying it to other businesses in other ways, I mean,
my mind is just reeling right now.
My initial thought is, like anything, you need a big headline.
Yeah.
And since it's going to be at restaurants, I would try to think of a headline that tied in, like, you know, not just off the top of my head, something to the effect of, you're feeding your stomach, now feed your mind and spirit at Fishbrook Drive. You know, that kind of headline that ties into the fact that, yes, they're eating at a restaurant, but now you're kind of presenting what it's all about. So. Okay. And then I think, you know, what you're doing here is great. It can definitely be laid out better as it's designed. If you have
well, and like I said, it's the first one we've done, so it's going to take a lot of tweaking.
Somebody who's a design person, because right now there's no focus to where your eye goes. It's all over the place. So just any designer, somebody who's doing that. I think the headline, you basically, you got offers here.
And you have space to do it, too.
Where's the call to action? I'm not seeing that.
Yeah.
You want to tell them what they can do with this. Like,
okay.
Take this, do this, and you'll get this type of thing.
Jonathan, any thoughts on this?
I'm there with Eric. I think that this is a brilliant idea. What a great distribution medium. That's really what it is. Have you thought about putting this in lobbies of doctor's offices, too, when kids are bored?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things we're working on right now with things along this line, actually. You know, we're actually... I don't know who it was the other day. We were talking about pediatricians and stuff that they're working with. We've actually already compiled a list. We've got a whole list of all the local doctors and dentists' offices to start going to talk about different things. So.
Did you say you're going to change these out every month?
Yeah, they're new every month. They're specifically geared toward, you know, the holiday of that month or, you know, whatever the theme of that month is.
Let's just say one restaurant runs out after... 2 weeks.
All they have to do is give me a call. I mean, it's easy. You know, they've all been told once you get low, call us, we'll run down. You know, I mean, the good thing is all the restaurants are right next door, and the UPS store is literally the next door over in my plaza. So,
if you're not doing it, just another thought to consider, like, we're doing a couple dozen lead boxes, and so we do that, and in turn, they get an ad in our monthly newsletter, our online newsletter, and we have a display table they can put their brochures, just to keep the goodwill.
Right,
do
right.
Something for them
yeah.
in turn.
Yeah. That was JV was the note I just put down there. Yeah. Try to try.
Oh, I had a thought and then it went away. I'll let it go.
He doesn't know about the fine yet. We don't find the guys that can kill everybody in the room, so. I'll tell you the funniest story.
I'm texting Rob for our regional developers call at 11.
The funniest story, and it was like I had just met Master Smith. I don't know, a few weeks ahead of time, and we were at the U.S. Open, and it was here was the table. It was Bill Clark, Jim Wolf from the ATA, like the chief operating officer of ATA, Bernie Carrick, Bill Kipp. Joe
Corley.
Who else was there? Everybody was there.
Wallace, I think.
Wallace was there. I can't remember. Anyway, so I'm sitting at this table, and I'm, like, looking around for the kids' table, where I should be sitting, right? But what was funny was, I can't remember I think it was Bill Wallace. Bill just starts laughing in the middle of dinner, you know, starts laughing really loud. I'm like, what the hell? And he's like, you know, I just realized it. Maybe it was Carrick. It was Carrick. Carrick started laughing. And he's like, you know, I just realized it. I'm the only one sitting at this table that he hasn't knocked out. Funnier than hell.
Toby goes, they had knocked me out.
I was like, no.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Maybe on the list. Here was my thought.
Funnier than hell.
With your offer, because you're bringing the monthly, you can put an implied expiration date on it, like March Madness special. Or, you know, the Be a Good Egg special or whatever the monthly theme is. And there's sort of an implied expiration date. Whether you actually want a hard expiration date or not is up to you. But
I like that too.
Urgency.
I usually do 30 days urgency, past the end of whatever's. If this is like a March thing, then I would make it April 30th.
St. Patrick's Festival, urgency.
And what might also be a good tie-in is if you have you know, a word search or something like that, and the answers are on their website.
Okay. Or sometimes they write them upside down at the bottom.
Yeah, but you want them to go to your website. That's not cool.
Oh, your website.
Yeah,
oh,
that was one of my notes here, too. Give them a reason to go to the website. Special offer they can only get there, special something they can request there, report they get there. Give them a reason to go to the URL. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
That's maybe kind of a contest where they can come up with the answers. If they get them all five right, they get the free introduction.
I would do the report there. Go to our website and receive a free report on...
Okay.
Because that would be a perfect one for that. Come to our school and get your free uniform. You know, for
bring this complete thing to the school for a free uniform or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Bring this complete maze or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that becomes the guide to get them into the school for the free uniform.
I would have them bring something.
Well, come to our confidence seminar.
Right.
Yeah. And give them something real challenging, and they go to 3 months of classes or something. Some people are really thinking about it.
James, any thought on this?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is just like kind of what you just said there, is coming up with something that's going to take a little work, and then say, answer these five questions correctly, bring this in for a free month of classes, a free something like that. And then as far as restaurants go, I'm seeing this going to my Chinese restaurants.
Absolutely.
I mean, because this is themed perfectly for a Chinese restaurant, and they're like looking for ways to make their business more valuable as it is. And with what I do Chinese martial arts, and I could come up with a bunch of stuff that would be themed. That they would, I don't think I'd have any problem getting them to say yes, because it doesn't look like it's like a Japanese thing. For you and I, it's no big deal, but for them, it might be. You know,
yeah,
it's got to be.
You could use your Chinese pictures.
Yeah, say that again.
We'd take ours to the Korean restaurants.
They don't want to use placemats.
Well, I would give them to the placemats and say, "This is something I want to give you guys
when
you sit
Chinese restaurants
just for your kids."
Every Chinese restaurant you have a placemat.
Depends on the restaurant.
They have chopsticks, not everybody uses. They might have these, where if they have kids, they sit them down with these. And I've got definitely two of them that I frequent regularly. When I used to be a student, I think we'll put those out.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing we noticed is nobody says no to anything that's going to be free, that's going to help their business and make them look like they're doing something more for kids that are coming in. I didn't have anybody I approached other than the chain restaurant say no. Everybody else was like, oh, absolutely, we'll take them. You know, do you provide crayons or do we need to get our own? And I'm like, no, we don't do crayons. Sorry.
Well,
is a thought now. You know, we're thinking about doing that and having the boxes with our logos done on them, or a coupon on them or something. So,
WorldSorts.com.
What now?
WorldSorts.com.
WorldSorts.
Yeah, let me make sure that's right. But it's a sourcing company out of China.
Okay.
And you get stuff like that.
S-O-R-C-E-S?
T-S.
T-S.
World Source.
Can I confiscate my pen? You can have it. I'll get more.
S-O-R-T-S?
Yeah, S-O-R-T-S. It's a sourcing company. Basically, they source like all sorts of... It's not coming up here. I may have to research that for you guys. I'm not getting it up here. World Source. Oh, I see.
World Source.
Well, no, that was different. I couldn't get World Source to come up. World Source Trading. Somebody remind me, Jonathan. Remind me over the weekend, and I'll find it.
It's in my to-do list.
Yeah.
Like a honeydew.
There's a sourcing company that we got. I'll show you what we got.
Oh, there's the shiny one with the stripes on it.
Okay.
I was carrying it on Master Oliver's motorcycle. So. Not good. Uh-oh. Now mine looks really dirty next to yours.
The kind of cheese that I've got.
I was just in risk of that knockout. I just bought my wife that same computer because she thought it was pretty. I'm just kidding. It was actually that one. We just got these. You know, the direct mail piece. I've sent you 3 mail packages, 4 letters, 2 faxes, 14 emails, a CD, a DVD. You still haven't called me to order. So the only thing I'm left to assume is you just don't have a phone. So here's the phone, right? Call me. This one actually isn't a real phone. It's just
It is a real
phone. It's a dummy.
That is a dummy phone.
It's a dummy, yeah, it's a dummy. But
ring when you open the package? Like in
no,
the
but no, but no, but the other option on this is you can program these in with a SIM card that only dials one number, and it's your number. So you give them actually a real phone. This isn't it, but there's one like this. It's like an extra $2 a unit. But that
how
that,
much is that?
I don't even want to tell you. But we got like 11 cases of them there for free. But these
got
these
the cost of them was free.
They got these for free, but you can get these for like I don't know $1 a unit or something like that.
Really?
Wow. Robert right. Lewis, that's got awesome. One of his students.
He got them here
for
but, yeah.
Nextel or whatever company makes the
fell off a truck.
But
huh?
There's a sourcing company that has.
They did a fundraiser. Is it a charity thing?
That's incredible.
It was a
Q-Mon
or whatever that is. But there's a sourcing company that you can get the same thing for like a couple of bucks a unit. You know,
they give them I'll find that sourcing. They give them away as advertisements at fundraisers and stuff like that.
It's like a right.
It's a real phone.
Yeah.
I took them back for my kids because they love to play, you know, play with them.
My son
so they
likes
have
that
like
kind
a
of
real
stuff,
phone. You know, because yeah. Usually the kids, the play phones they have look like... Look like real fun.
Okay, so sorry about the tangent, but okay, James, any other notes on any other thoughts on this at all?
No,
effectiveness wise, copy wise, yeah, absolutely.
Well, definitely the copy. If it were organized and like they had said a little bit more eye friendly, where you kind of lead them into different areas, and the layout. I mean, but the idea is definitely terrific.
It's brilliant. Yeah. Here we remind them. Master Smith, any notes on this at all?
I agree with I like three things to add to it. The head I think that needs a heading at the top. I like over here to get any of these free things, they have to do this.
Right.
So that feels like it's not just somebody picks up a blank placemat, because when a kid goes through this, no kid's going to go through this without the parent helping them.
Right.
And so the parent's going to read these things over here that are very valuable.
Well, and that's why, honestly, why we tried to stick to what's on there. So the maze is a little bit harder than a little kid's maze. Mm-hmm. You know, tic-tac-toe, obviously, to play with a parent. They're not going to play by themselves. You know, there was a reasoning behind the things that we put on it.
And I might even go so far as to say, you know, do one, get this. Do two, get this. Complete all, get the free uniform.
Okay.
The free report, I like going to your website to get the free report. Because that way, you know they're going to opt in before they get there. But I think it's great.
Yeah. Here are my notes, and I had many of the same that Eric already covered. You definitely need a benefit-oriented headline that attaches the order, the offer, to something that's tangible for the parent to understand. So here are my notes in a random order. You've got two things you need to consider here if you want them to take action. You've got parent versus kid. So how do you get the kid to tell the parent, hey, let me do this thing, right? Take this thing, and I just won something or whatever, right? So I think the tweak on that is to make it some sort of a contest, like you're saying, that now the kid has some sort of instruction that they can understand that says, when I finish this, I get this. How do I go get it? You know, so tell your mom, you know, give this to your mom, whatever, right? And my personal leaning on it would be to use some kind of a character assignment similar to this, I guess, but something that's, you know, something that will compel the parent when the kid gives it to him and say, hey, yeah, this looks like worthwhile, right? Benefit-oriented headline. If you put a coupon border around this, you'll get more readership. Right.
Okay.
Coupon border usually, you know, gives you a little bump in response because it looks like they know it's an offer, right? They understand that. You definitely benefit from your headline. I don't see any testimonials, and I definitely don't think there's any reason not to use them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And testimonials are like huge, right? Give them a reason to go to the URL, which we talked about, either the free report or some reason to go there. And again, you've got two things you need to be thinking about. You've got the parent and the kid to think about. So if the kid gets it, what can I bribe the kid with to go to the URL? And is the kid friendly URL? You know, I don't know. Maybe you have a separate URL to drive kids to. I don't know. You know, but if it's for the parent, what's going to get the parent there? Bring it to the school. Bring this thing into the school for free, whatever. You know, make it this or whatever. Create some urgency. We talked about that. The logo, I mean, you know, I would make it small in the right-hand corner over here and line all this stuff up so they see it's all kind of one thing.
Okay.
Testimonial. I think this is a potential profit center or a joint venture opportunity, right? So if you sell another couple of ads at the bottom here, you know, obviously the focus is to get them to your stuff, right? So you don't want to have a bunch of clutter and get them confused. But you could, you know, this could create a profit center. Our newsletter in Florida is a profit center for the school because of all the ads we have in it from people who want
right.
to advertise to our people.
Well, we do that too. Same thing with our own students. They buy space in our newsletter if they want it.
Yeah, definitely testimonials. Joint venture opportunity with all the local business partners you're dealing with. I mean, you know, they should
because
be actively.
He's getting it so cheap. I would just whichever place of business that you're putting at when you print them, I would throw their ad in on it too.
Yeah. So they get some branding out of it. It's not a bad idea at all. The joint venture opportunity.
That way
I would
they don't
on this
feel
deal.
Like they're promoting everybody else and not themselves.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to go to how many restaurants are you like 5, 10?
Right now it's like 8.
So would you stop the run and?
Well, the cool thing is for the UPS guy, yeah, they're just photocopies, so he doesn't care. He'll do whatever I want. He runs off 1,500 and
$100.
Yeah, 15 cents.
I do 8 places and run them 8 separate. And
I mean he doesn't care. And we actually thought about doing that because I did have one of the restaurants say, "Hey, do you think you could throw my logo on there next month?" And I said, "Yeah,
that's
fine. I don't care. No problem."
Absolutely.
And you could also group it. You could throw. You know, 2 ads or 3 ads, and then print up. It depends on how many that restaurant. If you drop 1,500 the restaurant and you come back at the end of the month and they still have 500 left, then you might split that between
right.
The two.
Well, and that'll be the new thing too. Is you know, for the next few months, it's going to be judging what each place is really using.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and what I was just going to say next is probably will help you get compliance. Is you know, bribe them. You know, I mean, create this as a joint venture where, you know, Mr. Jones, I'm going to supply this to you for free. I'm going to put your logo on it. You know, we're going to do all this work for you for nothing. In addition, anybody who brings this thing in and enrolls in school, I'll write you a check for $100 or $200 or whatever, right? The number on that is always directly proportional to the value of what they're normally selling in their business, right? So, for example, we do this type of a thing, like with little ad card type things, with, like, the pumpkin patch vendor or the flower vendor at Valentine's Day or the candy place or the costume place at Halloween, that sort of stuff. And if the guy's selling a $4 pumpkin, but you're going to pay him $50, if a student enrolls in your school, then all he has to do is hand him this card, they're handing out your, you know, they can't give away fast enough, right?
Right.
Same deal on this, you know, same deal. I mean, you know, it's definitely a joint venture opportunity. If you bribe them to do it, you'll probably get more compliance, you know. And they'll be, like, excited about it. And, you know, if you go take your guys to a party and they do a meal, they're going to love you more, right?
From what we call the action. Where we recommend you have... finish this when you get a lesson. Finish this, you get a uniform, so that kind of thing. Is it going to be, here's what you get, called to set up your appointment, or how would you word that?
I would want to drive them to make an appointment, yeah.
So you need to make an introductory appointment to get your free uniform and all that?
I would think so. I mean, unless, you know, you've got geography to consider, too. I mean, if it's the restaurant next door, just walk in. You know, have them walk in the front door, maybe, you know. But
but basically, you want them to make an appointment.
I think so.
So that you can make an appointment to receive your whatever.
I think so, yeah. Call this number.
I would bullet your first one there, that beginner's trial, 2 weeks. I would put that as a free, too. And just where they all, you get that free, you get the classes free. Because that, I kind of overread that as a heading for those below.
Okay.
And didn't catch that's where your lessons were if it was free. I like the way Eric said, if you complete one, get this. Complete two, get this.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Stacking
and
bonuses.
And complete one is going to be the trial. Complete two, you get the uniform. Complete three, you get the parents' conference.
Yeah, stacks and bonuses. Good idea. Yeah. The more you can bring.
Should you do complete one, or should you label each one? Complete this to get your free uniform. Complete this to get...
Well, I think you could do both, honestly, now that I'm here. I mean, why not put it in the offer and then put it on top of each thing?
Yeah, stack it, yeah.
Like, almost like the directions for the puzzle.
And then the parents can say, hey, you got 2 more to do because I want this parents report down here.
Yeah, I mean, this is what? I mean, really, this is, if it's $150 in hard cost, it's probably, what, an hour of labor?
Yeah, if
you
that.
Know, I mean,
if that, honestly.
The return is immeasurable on this deal.
I think last month really it took us all of 10 minutes to put it together.
Well, you only have to do it one, if you're going to do it seasonally, you only have to do 12 of them.
Right.
So I'd go hire somebody on Elance to do 12 of them.
They just keep repeating.
I have a graphic artist who's dirt cheap, so she'll do it anyways.
Have 12 of them and you never have to do them ever again. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Just put in a header that you can switch out every month. And
that's it.
That's brilliant. Okay, we got 2 huge winners so far for the weekend. We got the calendar and we got this deal, right?
Okay, well, and I got that website I want to show you.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting.
So
okay,
we had...
A phone for $4. Here's one for $28.
Was that website you were looking at, that .com, was that...
World Sorts.
It's World Sorts, but it wouldn't come up for some reason.
S O R T S.
Yeah, I'll find it. I'll find another source for it. I'll find that source.
So
this is physedforhomeschoolers.com.
Yep. Now we got a homeschool student in a school about 2 months ago. And, you know, for some reason, it just never clicked that it was a market that I might be able to get into. I don't know why. It never dawned on me. And the mother came to me, and she says, listen, she says, we belong to a homeschool group. She says, there's 400 kids local in this homeschool group. And I went, what? 400 local kids being homeschooled? How is that even possible? Yeah, I was shocked. And she's like, yeah, and that's just the group for, like, these three towns. And I'm like, what? So, Jason Silverman from Powerful Words, him and his wife are good friends, of mine at least, from all the years that we've been with them, and, you know, I've gone up to visit him and stuff. So I made a phone call. He just had a baby girl, and he wanted to give away something for free to all the clients, and I said, well, you know, Jason, I'm looking for a homeschool sales letter, and I'll be honest with you, that's my weakness. Sales letters are not something that I'm real good at. So he put together something for me, and so we took that sales letter and ran with it and turned it into a web page.
No.
And so basically what we've done is with the web page, it's the sales letter with the opt-in at the bottom, same idea. And then what we'll do is we've also gone ahead and got a mailing list from the homeschoolers, and we've sent that to them. The website link is on Craigslist, Facebook. We have a group on Facebook for homeschool. Basically, the sales letter is explaining to the parents that martial arts is a valid option for homeschool credit in New York State.
Can you go back to the top for a second?
Yeah.
English.
Done like Google AdWords and things like that, or are you just...
This just got finished before I came out here. So there's nothing for this yet. I mean, this is all just basically being set up as we speak. We will do an AdWords account for this as well. You know, I have one for the school, but not for this yet.
So you have the list of the 400 members or something?
I do. And we've already mailed the sales letter to them. You know, they've already... That went out Friday before I left. So hopefully, you know, we'll hear something this week. I don't know what they're doing at the school.
Do you have an existing homeschool program?
We don't. It's something we're in the process. We've opened up a couple classes during the day. You know, they're not on the schedule yet, but for when this starts. But, you know, what we've noticed is a lot of the homeschool people that we've spoken with, they want daytime classes. They don't want to be bogged down at night.
Yep.
And I'll be honest with you, if I'm going to get 20 homeschool students, I'll open up a couple classes during the week, during the day. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter to me at all. I can work 45 minutes one day.
Absolutely.
And a lot of them, they don't, you know, they don't mind whatever the cost is. You know, something we've noticed, I have, right now we started with one. I have 5 homeschool students in the school, and they all train at night right now. But what we've noticed is cost is not an option to them. I mean, not a problem to them at all. They're not prohibited in any way with anything.
Really interesting. I have the exact opposite experience.
Really? Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen anything. I mean, they'll spend nearly anything for their kids for homeschooling, especially for something that they need to get their credits. You know, the only thing they ask of us is once a month to have to print out an attendance report for them. Big deal.
I have some of those that because they have to get credit at school.
They actually get
accredited homeschooler. They have to have some physical activity.
Yeah.
They can do it, and make it up, and say they're doing it. But I do. I do it. I have a couple of students that go to private schools, and they have the option of not doing a phys ed class at their private school and do ours instead. And I fill out a report each grading period. I actually write the grade out for him. I have a system they put it so he gets a grade based on what I do. And he has to attend so many hours, so I have to write that he had completed this many hours of classes. The kid's testing for his black belt now, so that was
Yeah, I mean, we have a header letter, same idea that I just sign my name to, and then I print an attendance report out and attach it.
And you're doing that through a private school, you say?
Private schools. I have about a half dozen students that are there.
Yeah, see, the problem in New York State, we tried that. The problem in New York State is the local school districts, if you're in regular school, they won't allow you to waive your gym crash credits for martial arts or anything outside, but only for homeschooling.
But you know, there's another, I'm just sitting here thinking about this, there may be another option and go through, I don't know how it is in New York or anywhere else, but the charter school system.
What is that?
Well, in Texas, we have charter schools, and they work through, like the Northeast Independent School District is a school district in our area. Well, there's a charter school that's an association with them, so they're a state school, but yet they're like private schools.
They're almost private, like a Catholic school.
Yeah, in a sense, okay. But it's recognized by the state as being a state school, but they're called charter schools.
Yeah, we don't have that.
And there may be a...
Yeah, we don't have that. We have the Catholic schools by us, the private schools by us, they don't have to do anything but meet New York State curriculum guidelines. That's it. They're not tied to anything that the school districts do.
Yeah. Connecticut's worse. Connecticut, once you waive your right to public school education, they write you off.
No, New York's like that too. I hate to say that. New York's that way too. The people that I talk to for homeschooling, the school districts, the local school districts make it terrible for them.
I'm not talking about the school districts. There's no requirements for them to do any kind of curriculum for
them. Oh, really? Oh, no, New York's not like that. They're real strict with what they need to have for... I mean, there's... The one homeschool mother brought in a bylines, I guess it is, or guidebook of... bylaws, that's it, thank you. This thick for New York State for homeschooling. She was reading it. I'm going, oh, my God.
It's abbreviated. Phys-ed. P-H-Y-S-E-D.
Yeah, my experience is I started a program last year... and started out really successful. People screaming rave your hands.
No education.
About 30 kids in the program.
Physical education was already taken. We tried that.
Started asking price questions about halfway through the 6-week program. And I said, well, it's only about $157, but I was thinking of offering you guys a group discount. Because we can do that for you guys. We can't even come close to that. So I offered them like half price, like $75 a month. And I still had even people who were like really, clearly, I was clearly really wanting to do it. People not registered. And I've increased their prices to like $100 now, and I have people dropping out. So
it's weird.
Very interesting. Well, I mean, we're living in very different...
I was going to say, yeah, it's probably where you are, too. I mean, you got to remember, my average family income where I am is about $110,000
to $130,000
a family. Well, mine's that for decades.
What you're identifying is the fundamental challenge with this, right, is you've identified a niche market, right, that now you're bringing your message to that marketplace. This is all science, right? I mean, this is all just formula, right? You've identified a niche. You've got a message that you're going to test in the niche to find out if it's a message to market match, right? Now the big challenge is, how do you get the most value out of that market, right? Is it bringing them in for a discounted program twice a week in the daytime or something like that? Or is it, you know, using that as bait to leverage them into being a real member, right? You know what I'm saying? So that's the same quandary Jonathan's in with the school program. Right, you don't
right.
decide you must how to serve them better.
Well,
right?
And I'll be honest with you, the only discount we give them is off their down payment. We don't give them any tuition discounts whatsoever.
And the price is irrelevant, to be honest. You know, how much you're going to charge them is irrelevant. The only thing that's relevant is what you want
to
do.
But Toby, why does it have to be one or the other? Why can't they have the
You know, absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. You have to figure out what you're going to do with this market. You've got 400 people that are a captive marketplace. You have to decide what you're going to do with them.
Yeah.
What is it going to be? You know what I mean? The way to kill these deals, right? Or the way to kill yourself and the deal is to like do some sort of a, you know, high labor activity with them that doesn't convert into something of value for you. Like if in Jonathan's case, if the most you can charge these guys is $40 a month to come in twice a week and do you know, was that really worth being there 2 days a week for an hour? You know what I'm saying? I don't think so. But you know, everybody, you know, teach their own, right? You know what I'm saying? So that's what you have to do is just right.
We've pretty much determined already they're going to be full-time regular students.
They're going to come in the daytime.
They get the option that if they can't come in the daytime, they can come at night. I mean, the daytime classes are their option.
That's the best way to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I wouldn't charge less. Why I'd charge more for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they get a smaller class, they get the instructor with less people.
Yeah.
That's more valuable.
Well, which again, you have to think. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. The thing in the long term too is you're always going to have attrition. But you have a very limited market. There's only 400 of them, right? So let's say we have the regular market penetration that you normally do in your martial arts school, which is what, like 0.8%, right? You know, so you're going to have, 3.2 students, right? Yeah,
right.
You've got a different message going to the market. It's a much better match, so, you'll have more. But the thing is, if you're going to drop out of that program the same as you do in your regular program, let's say they're the same, and maybe it's 4% a month. So if you have 20... That means every month you got to be replacing two of them.
Right.
Right? Something like that. Right. So you have to make sure you're always going back to that market. And you've got a much more limited universe of humans.
And like I say, though, that 400 is just
one little
area. So,
That's what you know.
Right, right. And, and we've started doing our homework. I mean, we've been looking online. There is...
Yeah.
I'm actually, I'll be honest with you,
I'm really
shocked. There's so many kids and there's so many homeschool groups. I never imagined that there was that many kids that didn't go to public school.
Yeah, I think there's potential for value-added things. Like if you think about homeschoolers, what are they missing? Socialization.
Right,
you could have
right.
Well, have a one-hour karate class, then for an extra $50 a month, they get a half hour of some activity. So you got them there anyway. You could think of how can you make it more valuable.
The sales letter.
Exactly how you strike that.
The sales letter's on there.
Okay.
I brought the sales letter with me too, so you guys can see what the sales letter looks like.
Here's a few observations about the homeschool demographic in my town, and really from my part of the state, because they actually travel a lot further for my program than Enfield.
Next.
What do you want me to do with it? You want me to email
if you just want to? Yeah, I mean, if you guys want the letter, that's the sales letter that was put together.
It looks better here than it does on the
webpage. Yeah.
Can we post it?
Send it to me.
Yeah, the web page could use a little tweak.
Yeah, it needs a little.
I'll be honest with you. The web page.
I would recommend. I'm now a convert. I would highly recommend video squeeze page on the front. Bribe them to get them in. Extract data on the way. I mean, I'm converted now. Right? I'm converted. I'm a believer.
What's really good about these people is they're highly motivated to educate their child. The financial considerations I have aside, and there are a couple of them who are wealthy, but by nature they're single working parents, families, right?
Homeschoolers?
Well, I mean, by nature one of their parents is working, one of them is not.
Correct. Yeah. And at least where we are, now see, I know your market's different, but where we are, the kids that are homeschoolers, the parent that's working is making big bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, at least that's where we are, and that's why the mom is home doing whatever. Yeah, I mean, like, I'll give you an idea. The three of the five I know off the top of my head that are homeschooled, and I know what the father does. One is a graphical engineer for Boeing. I mean, he designs all the airplanes. That's what he does for a living. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt. The other one's father is a high-level executive in Elmont with IBM. And the third kid, the father actually does all the homeschooling. And the mother is a lawyer in a big corporation in Manhattan. So it's like, these kids that are being homeschooled, their parents don't want them in school because they don't want them around the riffraff because they don't believe in that. I mean, that's their outlook on it. You know, whether that's the truth or not about what the public schools are like, that's just how they feel. That's just how they feel.
Robert, this sales letter, if this is copyrighted material, this is you own it.
Correct.
It was
written by Jason Silverman for me, and given to all the Powerful Words clients for free. Okay, so I'm giving it to you guys with that understanding.
Yeah, don't go to the website and use the copy verbatim. Damn, where's he at? Dead damn Garish is.
I was just gonna cut and paste.
It was Gary Schultz.
Remember Gary, the kind of big tuxedo guy from California, from Texas. He got us.
Oh yeah.
He got us in trouble with DreamWorks for friggin' yeah. registering. Come from Panda, Texas.com, and a bunch of this crap.
That's Lesnar. I think it was Schultz, Gary.
He's a fine guy. I like Gary. He's a good guy. But, you know, just
see the guy that had his, like, school burned down and all that stuff? And
he had some
Alan.
Problems.
That was Alan.
But he had some other
problems. Gary was the guy that got in a car crash. And we had
yeah, that guy. That is Gary.
Yeah.
Last name wasn't Schultz.
S-C-H-I-L-L.
Schill,
that's it. Yeah, Schill. I know that he said Schill.
I just saw him.
I like him. I like him. I give him a hard time about it.
Senator Erie got mad.
Yeah,
Kung Fu Panda.
Because we were using the
state of Texas.
The Kung Fu Panda. They said you could use it as long as you did it like that. But he took it, pulled it off of there.
Now, are you guys doing anything for Dragon Ball Z?
And made it look like it was his logo.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. we don't have anything done yet.
Caught it from some.
You can't divulge your information. You have to kill.
We just don't have anything. We don't have any permission to get answered. We've had no.
Well, they probably actually have.
We've had a lot of trouble with that. With most of you and stuff.
Really?
That sucks. We're working on it. You know, I mean, it's just it is. You do not have rights.
Jonathan, I went over to the stuff next door. He got you all these cookies.
Some big cookies.
Yeah. Charging on the breakfast at Great Harvest Bread.
Great Harvest Bread?
Yeah. Okay, I think we'll get
it. So, and then I brought the other thing that we're working on.
Well, that's two really big ahas right there.
The other thing we're working on for May is Teacher Appreciation Week. I don't know how many of you guys do that, but I don't know how you guys approach getting the teachers into your school, but we have a letter that we use that gets all of the kids to bring it to school.
Teacher Appreciation.
Yeah, and they give it to their teachers, and it has on the bottom, you know, what days I train, and, you know, I'd love to have you come and watch me. And, I mean, I'd say every year I'd say we get about 20 teachers.
No kidding.
And we give them, we have a certificate that we give them that we have the child sign, I sign, and the teacher comes out on the floor. The child presents them with the certificate, and we present them with a bouquet of flowers to thank them. And, you know, as the years have gone on, we've been doing it about 3 years now. We get more and more teachers every year. They go back to school. They tell all the other teachers, you know, how wonderful it is that what we do for them and that we really appreciate them. And we take their pictures with the kids and we put them up on our student services site and then give the teachers a password so they can get through to the student services site to see the pictures of them and their kids. This year, what we're actually talking about doing is actually printing the pictures and sending them to the school so they have a copy. But Toby, the letter's on here. I brought the letter with me. I forgot to get the certificate. So I mean, throwing anything together for a certificate.
So you're inviting them to your school?
Yeah, we bring the teachers into the school.
We put just a big, like a big party thing?
No. We bring. If you read the letter pretty much explains it. What we do is we ask them to come in and watch the kids. So here's the letter. And that's last year's or the year before's letter.
What's
actually.
Your ultimate aim to get the parents?
I just want the teachers in the school.
I want
the teachers seeing what we do. I want them to have an opportunity to look at our character development program firsthand. I mean,
you then following up with that teacher to try to schedule school.
Absolutely, calls? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, once we get the teacher in the school, it's a personal relationship at that time. So you know, we'll follow up. Not immediately. I give them a week or two, so it doesn't look like.
You were saying you have to do just one class a week.
Yes. Yeah. We're screwed in our district, where we are. There was a point where, I mean, we've made, in the last year and a half, have made great connections with the local principals. They love us. And, you know, we were going into every local elementary school for open house, for parent-teacher night, parent-teacher conferences. I mean, we had a booth every single time we did that. We were doing gym classes at a few schools. We had started to get into that. And the superintendent that they just hired from another school district came in and put the axe on it. She said that she wanted no outside anything outside of the school in the school. So no Boy Scouts, no Girl Scouts, no us, no nothing. They can't have anything in the school but PTO. That's it.
Schools can't be plugged into their community.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean,
how many students would you like?
How many students would I like to have in my school?
From the PTO.
From the PTO?
Have you ever done fundraisers for TTM?
That's something we've just started. This just happened to us in August. They just cut our throat.
They are constantly looking for ways to raise money.
Yep.
And one of the best ways they do is their little silent auction things that they do at some of their functions. Every time they approach me for a silent auction, I donate to that, but I also tell them that I'd like to do a special fundraiser for you.
Yep. We've actually put together a package. And I go to the PTA meetings. We just started last week attending PTA meetings because it took us from August to now to try to figure out what we wanted to do and how we wanted to get in. And the package is coupon cards that, you know, they can sell membership to the school. You know, all the money goes back to them. And, you know, it's got a letter, proposal letter, and, you know, all kinds of other stuff. So we bring that package with us to the PTO meetings and hand it out to the PTO board for them to review. And I actually just got a call before I left on Thursday from one of the local PTOs. So, and it only takes one to get started, you know, but that was something new.
I sold them on it. I say, you know, a lot of times y'all do fundraisers where the kids are selling wrapping paper and they sell the candy. And, you know, around Christmas time and a couple other times of the year, they bring that around. And my students are constantly hitting me up for that. It's like $20 for a little candy.
That they can use verbatim. Yeah.
And the school gets about a dollar or two off of that. Right. And so I explained to her, I said, you know, a lot of the fundraisers I've seen you do, the parents are having to spend a lot of money, but you don't get it. You only get like 10% of it or maybe 20% of it. What I'd like to do is a fundraiser for you where you get 100% of it, but then the parents get something that at cost, their cost is about 10% of what it would cost. And they go, so the numbers work for them. And I say, so what we do is we offer 1 month of lessons and a free uniform. And that's you know, we give them a value of that of $250. And they get to sell it for $20 or $25. And that way the parent gets a deal because the kids are selling them, and give each kid a little booklet of 10 of them. And for the fundraiser, they just, you know, that this class is doing the fundraiser, that class, the PTO hands them out to the parents to sell to the other parents, and just like you do.
Yeah.
And that's what we do on the ones that don't let us get in the school system.
Well, so, but, you know, what we've done...
I'd much rather have a gym teacher for the day in an after-school program.
Well, what we've done, though, is we've backdoored that. What the superintendent is allowing is the teachers are still allowed for their particular classroom to do what they see fit. So what we've done, you know, and because the principals are on our side, I mean, two of the four local principals were really upset that we weren't allowed back in the schools. I mean, that's the kind of connection we had made, which is great, you know, that they felt that way. We've actually gone ahead and printed letters, and they let us come in and put the letters right in the teachers' mailboxes. So, you know, I chop the letters in the teachers' mailboxes once every couple months. And so now we're doing classroom chats, you know, school talks, you know, and that's now starting to take off. You know, we've done three or four since August. And, you know, those three or four teachers, I got to write me, you know, letters thanking us and telling how great it was. So now we attach those to the letter. And now, because they're seeing other teachers have done it at other schools and so on and so forth, it's starting to take off. I've got four scheduled for when I get back. So, but that was our back door. You know, we had no choice. That was the way we had to approach it. So, you know, but Teacher Appreciation Day for us has always been big, and it's growing every year because, you know, I get the teachers into the school, and they get to see, you know, like, using powerful words for me works for us. I mean, we really like it. Because the worksheets every month, when the kids bring those back, they get a stripe on their belt. We hang the worksheets up around one of our big picture windows looking into the dojo. And so, you know, the teachers come in, they can see all the worksheets the kids are completing. You know, we don't have glass windows or anything, so it's all open sound. So, you know, when we do our mat chat at the end of class, the teachers are sitting right there, right next to where the mat chat is, so they get to hear that firsthand. So they're really getting that whole character thing firsthand by being there. You know, then we give them, you know, a bouquet of flowers and a certificate from the child. And, you know, and it just goes that whole distance. And then, you know, like you said, making contact with them. I don't do it immediately because I don't want them to feel like we brought them there to try to use them. I'll wait 2 or 3 weeks and then send them a letter.
Yeah, we should build, definitely that's the deal, is how do you build, like, once you get in there, what do you do with them? You know what I mean? Like, you know I think it was Keith Haffner we were talking about the, no.
That's why if you do a,
Dave?
If you do an after-school program, you do something where you need the parents' permission, so you send home the permission slip, where they have to fill stuff out,
Answer
a few questions, so that way at least capture their
information.
Yeah. That's a huge foot in the door.
So I was just asking, your idea where you're selling the gift certificate for a month for $25 or whatever? Is it basically then just saying call the school to set up your...
Yeah, on the coupon itself, the coupon will say, please call the Sterling School of Judah at this number to set up your appointment for your first class and get your get size for your uniform. Yeah.
Have you found a pretty good response to that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You get, you know, if you do, you know, we just started doing that because we've been doing the school thing, and then, like the same situation, we have a few schools who say, oh, we can't do those now. So we didn't want to completely shut that school out. And, you know, if you draw, you know, about a 2-mile radius around your school, you know, how many schools are there? And you, once you do the school program, you pretty much got to wait until the next year, or at least first half of the year, second half of the year. A lot of times you can get away with two of them a year, but some of them don't want you there but once.
Right.
And there's only so many schools to do. Because we like to do elementary schools really.
And see, we're lucky where we are because there's so many surrounding cities. I think I've got 8 elementary schools where I am. Which, around one school within...
Did you say you're donating full amount to your PTA?
What?
You won't get all 8 of them.
They write the check to the PTA. We tell them, write the check, and we ask the PTO how they want the check made out.
And you basically just say directly to the PTA chairman or whatever, this is to help you as a fundraiser, and from our perspective, it just helps the kids come in.
It's good for them. What we call is, it's what we give to the community. It's a community service program that we do. Okay. To help kids. And
now,
we tell them what our programs emphasize, too, because they're not all familiar with our program. So, like you said, the same thing. We do a letter, and we take a letter. But I first find out who the president of the PTO is. And then, of course, the best way to present it is to find out which kids you have go to which school, talk to their parents. They're members of the PTO.
Usually.
Give them the letter to take, because if they take it in and present it as a parent, who's
better.
A member of it, gets through much easier than when you call. But that's why I've been doing them, rather than I calling out of the blue, when they call me, because we've been doing these, and I just started that this year, because we have been doing the gift certificates for their silent auctions. And that's what we've been giving away, is the $250 value that they sell, and I usually give them about 5, and then they bid on them, and they make some money. But even out of that, for 5, if they, you know, bid them and they sell them for 25 or 50 bucks, it's not as much as if they sell them through their PTO and through the different classes. I mean, they could sell 100 easily, or 200.
Now, your coupons, I'm assuming they're tear off in the top section. They got to fill out all their information on them, or no?
The coupon that they have, this is strictly for them, and the coupon is the same one we give for the silent auction.
So you're not getting any information back.
They're going to bring the coupon back in.
Okay.
But if they're buying it,
well, they're interested, right? Obviously.
And it's a $250 value, and we even put on there may transfer to another person. It's transferable.
Okay.
So that way, if somebody buys it and realizes they're not using it, but they want to donate it.
Master Smith, would it be possible for, if I called you at your school, to get you to send me one so I can see what they look like?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, this is good. I have one question, if we back up a half a second before we maybe take a little break here. But how are you going to drive traffic to this site?
We have right now. First of all, we're going to do a Google AdWords. We haven't done that yet. We have...
Well, let's stop there for a minute. So you're gonna do AdWords.
Yep.
This is your website.
We did this.
Well, you know,
this is very clever.
There is a group. There is a because somebody, some of my students are homeschoolers, told me, and I haven't done anything with it, but I wanted to. There's a whole. I don't know if it's a website for homeschoolers that they all go to.
Yeah, depending on the state you're in.
All of the parents share information.
Yeah, what we've learned is depending on the state you're in, each state has its own, as well as each county within that state has their own. Yeah, which we're starting now to mine and get into. And then we've also found that, like, there's little offshoots, too. So, like, you know, each, like, little city has their own mom's group for homeschoolers. I mean, there's so much out there that you can tie into. But what we've done so far is Craigslist. I've got ads all over Craigslist for homeschooling. You know, the title just says, if you're a homeschooler, read this, or, you know, something like that. And it ties them to the website with, like, a little mini sale letter on it. Backpage.com, which is the new Craigslist. I don't know if you know what that is. We opened a group up on Facebook, a public group on Facebook, and then...
Are you geo-targeting all this stuff, or are you doing just broad-based?
What do you mean? You're speaking a different language to me, so...
Well, Facebook is the universe of everybody in the world.
Right.
This is for Fisher in New York. So that was actually the heart of my question is, if you're driving traffic to this on AdWords, of course, you can geo-target, right? So
right.
You can target by...
Right, and Craigslist is geo-targeted, and so is Backpage. They're both geo-targeted to our area.
Facebook
as far as Facebook, it's... No, it's global, but
it doesn't matter.
We've put in there that it's, you know, where the location is. So, you know, obviously, if somebody sees it and they see it's in New York, they're not going to click on it if they're not from that area.
Exactly. So,
and then what we went ahead and did...
I just Googled homeschool Fairfax County, Virginia. It gave me all kinds of connections.
Yep.
Virginia
yep.
homeschool support groups and resources,
yep.
educational school-age child care programs.
There's
Fairfax
tons.
County.
Yeah, there's hundreds of them.
So,
So...
And then what
here's the core of my question.
Go ahead.
Is right now you're building an additional funnel into your business,
yep.
which is brilliant. This is what we all need to be thinking about, right? We're all building a Parthenon. And the more pillars we can have in the Parthenon, the better. And if we've got, you know, you see what I'm saying? So this is all really brilliant so far. So you're building this new funnel. Question number one is, how am I going to put people in the front of the funnel, right? Question number two, number one is how. Question number two is, what happens when they get there? Like, you know, the one concern I have about this is that you're positioning it as physical education, which might predispose the market to a price, to price sensitivity. Because they're comparing you with physical.
Well, but if you...
But that you can read in the copy.
But what I was going to say, right, if you read the copy of the letter, and even if you read the headline...
Yeah.
You're
converting them quickly.
Yeah.
You're converting them quickly. But that's question number
two. We're just trying to get them to understand that that's an added benefit. You know, you can get your phys ed credit as well as all the life skill benefits
at
the same time.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because the parents are not looking for martial arts. They're looking for phys ed.
Right.
Yeah, I just think you have to quickly flip them and then...
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And we've made sure we do that. I mean, and you know, the good thing is, too, the processes that we've developed through you guys... You know, of you know your enrollment conference and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and explaining how the program works and that it is a life skill program and that you know the goal is black belt. It quickly explains to them that you're not here for 6 months worth of phys ed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're flipping them quick and you have to. So you've got everything geo-targeted except Facebook. That's good. Obviously, direct mail and all that stuff. You know, is going to be
now that we have the list. That's next. Yeah, absolutely.
And all that stuff. Yeah. I think. I mean. You know, guys, let me know what you think, but, you know, this is just a scientific, like, blind lead generation tool. I mean, you know, you could do, you know, any kind of blind lead gen stuff, penny saver type, three-line, ad type stuff, you know, which is blind.
Homeschool activity.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I think this is.
Well,
this
you know,
one of the other cool things I
did was, you know, I mean, I have an email list this long of contacts of people I know.
Well, the other thing
we went ahead and sent this an email out to everybody we know.
Yeah.
Forward this to all of your friends and have them forward it to all of their friends. And basically, I've gotten one student from that. I mean, I sent it to somebody who I used to work with IBM. And she said, hey, I know people that homeschool their kids right across the bridge from you. Let me send it to them. And the mother called and was like, oh, my God, that's great. We were looking for karate, but you also can get us homeschool credit. You know, so could the karate school across the river. She don't need to know that, though. And they came in and signed up both kids. So,
and like Master Smith said, you can go and you just search with probably 15 organizations.
Absolutely.
That's worth a personal visit.
Absolutely.
So you had to be to those organizations.
Yeah, well, and we're working on that now. The one of the mothers who's in our group, she's real big with one of the local groups. So she's actually got us set up for next month for when they have their meeting to come in and talk to all the parents, which will be nice.
Well, that's a big home run. I mean, that's exciting. Because, I mean, you could localize the URLs, and, I mean, you could do a lot with this. You could do a lot with this. Very clever, very clever. Very good. Well, good. Any questions, or should we take a break? Or
I have a JV thing that might work for you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I have a joint venture thing that might work for you. So one obvious one is if you can open the homeschool market for powerful words through your website and actually sell it to local areas. Two is that one of my employees, you know, one of the 78...
The one that's white?
One of the 78. She works for me 2 hours a week on Saturdays. She's just, you know, that busy. She just works the front desk, and you know, I need her there, but I don't. She doesn't have 2 hours of work to do. She has an hour of work to do. She's a homeschool mom, so we could have her write a blog, a newsletter, all that stuff. She's articulate. She's, you know.
You can outsource most of that too if you like, but yeah.
So.
See, this has leverage. This is attractive for a lot of different markets. What you're going to get into, depending on how robust you want to do all this stuff, the new Web 2.0 challenge is that it's manual labor intensive. Right. You know, so what you're describing is...
Well, and you know, normally I would pay a web guy to do my websites. Like my school websites, right. You know, I have a web developer.
Right, right, right.
This website, being that it's just one page with a kink box on the bottom, you know, an information capture on the bottom, we registered the domain with GoDaddy, and they have this service. It's $45 for the year. And I went in and did it in one night, put the page up. I mean, it's not perfect. It needs work, but to get it out there, at least in the meantime, it was quick.
Yeah. Having it there is better than having it perfect.
Right. But, well, and, you know, and like you, my web guy's shit, so...
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is there's a lot of leverage on this, and if you're going to drive traffic strictly from offline to online, then all that blogging and social networking and stuff like that's irrelevant, right? If you're going to drive traffic directly with links and all that stuff, then all that's irrelevant too. You don't need it. But if you're going to go for like organic search results, then you need fresh content all the time, and you need Web 2.0 type stuff starts to kick in much more robustly, right? So what I'm saying is, Jonathan, what you're suggesting is how do we take this thing global? Right, which I'm on board with, right? Which we've got resources to be able to do stuff like that. To be geo-targeted, though, don't need any of that work. You know what I'm saying? We don't need it. Because you're driving target there from a targeted source anyway.
Right, I mean, like you said, an ad in the Penny Saver is easy enough to drive them to it.
Yeah.
Well, what I was thinking is that even if you have a geo-targeted list, you still want to, you know... build the traffic.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. Behind the scenes, you have some sort of a member area that, absolutely.
Yeah, so I don't want to write an email every week.
A form or something.
A form.
You need to get them to actually pay you more.
Yeah.
So you need to create the herd by offering with extra services to make it pay.
Put a form
or something on the backside.
Yeah. Brilliant. Very good. Let's take 10. We'll be back with Mr. Oliver and I think Dave.
Cool.
So that's a big deal. That's a big deal. That's a couple big deals.
We're trying.